Psalm 119. We're going to look at another letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Each one of these is divided in those sections. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, right? So we'll try not to miss any of it. Psalm 119, the title of the message tonight is, It Is Well With My Soul. It is well with my soul. Psalm 119, find your place there, and then we'll look at these verses together in just a moment. Let's read through them now. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now let's see what the psalmist is talking about here. And I believe, again, as is so often the case, we see that the psalmist had enemies and he had some difficult circumstances. He implies that in these verses. Nobody likes difficult circumstances, do we? We'd prefer the good times. We don't really want those bad times. And I can tell you this, that tough times can wear down the best believer and the sweetest Christian you've ever seen. When they go through times that are rough and over, maybe a long, drawn-out physical problem, and they go through all of that, I can tell you that it doesn't matter who you are, it can really wear you down. Some of the most committed Christians I've seen have been that way. But you know what? God is doing something with them the whole time. What is he doing? Well, it's sort of like a stream of water running over a rock. That's what makes them slick and shiny. Or sand that comes across the rough edges of a big boulder or a big rock, and it shines them down. And what God is doing is really looking at our souls and polishing our souls. Because God wants us to be everything he wants us to be. And so some of these problems come into our lives. Now, look at the psalmist's word of testimony in verse 65. Here's what he is saying. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Now he's having problems, but he says, you've dealt well. You know, everything can be going wrong in my life, in your life, and yet at the very same time, everything can be well. It can be things that we don't understand, but if we're trusting God in God's word, then we have this peace in our heart that everything is well. For instance, take Joseph. Joseph was having, you might say, everything go wrong in his life, wasn't he? He was just trying to do the right thing and do what God had shown him to do in a dream. And he shared those dreams, and then his brothers mistreated him. And they left him, far as they were concerned, they wanted to kill him. But then God in his providence allowed him to go to be in the land of Egypt. And when he got there, he had all kinds of problems. He was treated like a slave. That's what in essence he was. He was purchased to be a slave. And then when he got in the home of Potiphar's wife, every day, no doubt, for a long time, he had to put up with her. And she was a person that was very forward and wanted to have an affair with him. And he had to deal with that and deal with that and deal with that. And then he was lied on and went through all kinds of problems and was thrown in jail. How would you like it if you were going through all those things? And yet, he continued to trust God. I have an idea there were times that Joseph might have thought, Lord, what in the world is going on here? And what's next? And yet he never quit. He never threw in the towel. He never turned around. He never stopped. He just kept on trusting God, believing God, and God worked it out. And he became prime minister, and later on, his brothers had to bow down to him. And he was used mightily of God. All the time, it may have looked bad. But I'm saying when all is wrong, usually all is also well. And the scripture is what he's talking about. He said, "You've dealt with me this way, Lord, according unto thy word, not only the principles of it, but the promises of your word." Now you think of some of the promises God has made to us tonight and claim those promises. And God will not let us down. It'll all turn out right. It'll all work out right because the scripture is sure. And so that's his word of testimony. God's word does not fail, and God doesn't let me down, and God is always in charge. Now look at the psalmist's wish, his desire, his prayer for teaching. That's recorded in verses 66 through 68. He had been taught, but he had barely touched the hem of the garment of God in his knowledge of God. Sometimes I feel that way. After all these years of being saved, sometimes I just feel like I've barely touched the hem of his garment. He's very much like a child that's playing on the beach and wading around in the shallow water and all of the ripples that are coming in. They're not out there in the deep yet. And that's the way sometimes we are. And that's the way he was. And he was saying to God in his expression in verse 66, "I want you to teach me. God, I want to know more of the word. Not only know the word, but I want to put it into action." Look at what he says. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge." That's a good prayer, isn't it? God, teach me good judgment. Now, I've had some times I've had bad judgment. How about you? But never have I had bad judgment if I place my judgment thoroughly and squarely on the Word of God. Anytime I place it on the Word of God, it comes out the way it's supposed to. And so that's what he's saying as he expresses it. And he's talking about the action that he needs to take. And he's talking about himself. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." I believe what you've said, and I've got a lot more to learn. Keep teaching me, God. I am teachable. Are you teachable tonight? Are you teachable? God wants to teach us some things, and we need to look into his word and lean on him. We have all kinds of decisions to make in our life, don't we? I mean, every day you get up, you got to make some decisions. What kind of decisions? All kinds. It may be, God, do I take that job out of state? Do I relocate my family to another state? We had one of our men here Sunday who led in prayer, who felt God led him, and he's in the Pentagon now working up there. But I'm sure he had to spend some time seeking God's will in God's face. What do you do if you're a parent and you're having problems with your teenagers? I guarantee you, you're going to get on your knees sometimes and say, "God, what in the world do I do? Here, give me wisdom and show me what to do with my family," whatever it may be. And we deal with all of these kinds of things. But how do we get our answers? The primary way is like the psalmist. Go to the scriptures. Go to the Bible. See how God leads through the Word of God, and obey God's Word and God's good judgments, and that'll be the right thing. That's what the psalmist was saying. And then look in verse 67 at what he experienced. Here was his prayer: "God, keep teaching me. I believe what you say, so teach me." And first, I think we see in this a confession. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." He said, "God, I want to confess something that I know to be true. Before I really learned what I'm supposed to be learning or began to learn and all of that, and before I kept your word, I backslid. I got away from you. I strayed from you. I went astray." Isn't that true of all of us? That's true of everybody, really, because the Bible says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray." And just like a sheep, a lamb that goes astray, so you and I, even though we're saved, from time to time, we run into those times and problems where we go astray. And so he said, God, I want to tell you, I know that I have strayed. But then I see his conversion. And he talks about before I was afflicted. That's before it happened. And that's the conversion experience that he's talking about. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now that I've been afflicted, now that I've had problems, now that you've brought this on me, it's helped me, God. I backslid, I got away from you, I went astray, and now you have afflicted me, and now I'm bringing myself back into your graces and into your will. I think that, again, always reminds me of the prodigal who got away from his father and went down there, and he had all kinds of problems, and those problems were good for him. Those problems were helpful to him, and because of those problems, he saw how far he was out of God's will, and he went back and did the right thing and came back to his father's house. And then I see consecration, confession, I went astray. Conversion, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Consecration, but now, he says, I have kept thy word. That's the value of affliction. When we have problems, God allows those things, as I often say, to come into our lives are the chastening hand of God. And when they come, then we see what God is doing. We get some things straightened out, and God is pleased. We get back on track spiritually, and we go on for the glory of God. That pleases Almighty God. David had that experience, and I think that this very well could have been a psalm of David. And David knew what it was to get away from God. He also knew what it was to confess his sin and then to consecrate his life to the Lord. And God continued to use him. Because you see, David saw what God was doing and he got things right with God. God will chastise us, or God will let us go through trials to get us closer to him. That's the way God is. And if we're out of his will, he will spank us to get us back in his will. By the way, chastening is always parental, not punitive. He's not trying to punish us as an enemy, but he's trying to love us back to him as a parent who loves his children, who just says, my child, I want you to get right with me. I want to bless you, and I have to do this to you so that you can straighten up. So like your mom and daddy used to have to do whenever you got out of their will, and that's what the Bible says. Hebrews 12:6. Very precious promise that we know we can depend on whom the Lord loveth, not whom he hateth, but whom he loveth, he chasteneth. And sometimes God just has to do a little bit of that. I'd like to mention this too. It's a sorry parent that doesn't know that they need to chasten their children once in a while. And I might add to that, it's a sorry grandparent. No, grandparents, we don't have to do that, do we? No, but it's not a wise thing. And if you love your children, you're going to chasten them. And if you love your grandchildren, you're not going to let them get away with murder. You see, some people do that in God's house sometimes. And I wonder, hadn't they read the Bible? Don't they know anything about that relationship? And you see them doing about 90 miles an hour across this area here. This is a sacred area here. Amen. Not because I'm standing here. This is where the gospel is preached. This is a sacred area. They don't need to be up here knocking microphones over and breaking them and doing all of that. They need to be chastened. And you're not going to hurt them by chastening them, contrary to what the liberals tell you. But it's a sorry parent who never chastens his children. Amen. It just shows that they don't love them like they should. And you want to be popular with your kids. That's not what God says is going to work. Now, this is what he experienced. What did he expect as a result of all of that? In verse 68, he says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. He's getting back to the statutes, to the word of God, to the commandments of God, to what God has said. Over and over and over again, he goes right back to the anchor of God's holy word. And that's where we'd better go. God is good. I think I mentioned this to you, I don't know, or someone recently, there was a guy at at the Mount of Byron conference, it kept saying, no matter where we were, no matter what was said, he'd come back and say, God's good all the time. And I think there's a song out like that, right? God's good all the time. And so that's a fact. That is true, no matter what. And so what we need to realize is, don't blame God. Don't get bitter at God. No matter what the sickness, no matter what the problem, no matter what the sorrow, the suffering, no matter what comes our way, the sadness, to get bitter at God is slander against God. And that's a dangerous thing. Don't ever get bitter at God. You're looking at it wrong if you get bitter at God. God's not the enemy, and God is always good, and God never does anything wrong. God cannot do anything wrong. I've known people that have gotten so bitter and angry at God over something, and maybe God just allowed them to be tested, like Job. I don't know. I don't know what all might have gone on, but I've seen them get so angry at God, they just quit coming to church, quit serving the Lord, quit doing anything, and they are some of the most miserable people I've ever met in my life. Don't ever get angry at God. I don't think it's wrong sometimes to quit to talk to God and say, God, I don't really understand why you're doing this. And if it was me, I wouldn't do it. But Lord, you go ahead and do it. And if that's your will, and if that's for me, then God, I'm just going to trust you and do that. And so that's the way he was. And he wanted to be like God. What's he saying here? He said, teach me thy statutes. God, I want to be like you. If it takes problems, if it takes heartaches, if it takes difficulties to make me like you, then God, that is my desire and that is my goal. Now, look at the psalmist's way as he goes through his testing. Verses 69 through 71. He has those who are his enemies who affront him, and look at the reaction to those who affronted him in verse 69, the reaction to their sneers. He said, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. You know, it's tough to have somebody lie on you. How many of you ever had somebody lie on you? If you had a brother or sister, I guarantee you did. But you have somebody who would lie on you. And, you know, it's not easy to take. I'm sure Dr. Barber in the ministry, and anybody who's been in the ministry, Brother Phipps, been in the ministry, pastor. And I have been in the ministry a pretty long time, and over those years, we've had a few lies told on us. And I never did like it. I don't know about you men, but I never did like it. And those are sort of fighting words to most people, but you can't fight, you know, if you're a Baptist priest. You're not supposed to anyway. But at any rate, it's hard to be lied on. And a lot of people like to sling mud, don't they? And you know what? Mud sticks, and mud dries. And you might get that mud off later on. You might try to repair it, but it usually leaves a stain no matter what. Sort of like a dirt dauber nest. You've seen those. You've knocked them down. There's still a little bit up there. So we have to be very careful with that. But he was looking at their sneers and all that they were doing. And who were these people? He said, the proud. The proud. Pride always reminds me of the devil. Amen? That's what got him in trouble. And he is proud, he is the father of lies, and he is the one who uses others to do all of his dirty work. Isn't it sad, really, that so many of our Christians today are not ready to believe something good about somebody as they are to believe something bad about somebody? I think we could all work on that a little bit. We just have a way about us of believing something that is bad about another believer instead of believing something that is good. And that always hurts. And it hurts a lot of different people when that takes place. Now, the psalmist said, there's only one thing I can do when the proud and arrogant and the gossipers and those who lie on me and forge this lie against me, there's only one thing I can do. But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. He says, I'll just keep on doing what you say to do, what is right. And I'm not going to worry about all those people who lie on me and do all of those things. You know, if you stopped every time a chihuahua barked at you walking down the street, you'd never get very far, would you? in pretty weather. But at any rate, you have all kinds of critics out there, and you have people who don't like what you do, and people who will criticize you, and relatives who will down you, but don't worry about it. Just do what God says do. You'll have peers at work that laugh at you because you pray before you eat a meal, or because you stand up for what is right, or because you don't get in on the gambling they're having there in the office, and all of that. But just stand up and do what's right. The psalmist said, just do it. You notice here that he says, I do it with my whole heart. God does not like half-hearted Christianity. There are too many Christians, too many Baptists, too many church members who are half-hearted. God says that Laodiceanism makes him sick. Lukewarmness. And so we need to have served God with all of our heart. Now, this was the reaction to their sneers. What about their smugness in verse 70? Their heart is as fat as grease. I heard somebody laugh when I read that earlier. It is sort of humorous in a way. Now, fat in the Bible sometimes means good. Fatness sometimes is indicative of blessings. In fact, on the altars and many times the sacrifice that God wanted was the fat of the animal. And that's what the fat was. It was what was left of that meat. And it was an offering that was offered to God. But the fat of grease, the fat that is grease, is a little bit different, and it indicates something different. Not blessings, but in this context, in other places, it indicates something that is repulsive and something that is greasy and something that's going to cause problems. In other words, we could call it sensual bloating. And that's what he says about them. Their heart is as fat as grease. They're just given over to the flesh. They're given over to sensual bloating. And this is repulsive to them. It reminds me of the story in Judges chapter 3. You can read about it where Lefty let Fatty have it. I've heard messages preached on that subject. And this was where Ehud, who was left-handed, let Eglon, the king, have it. He surprised him. And the Bible says, he was a fat man. And so as a result, Ehud just stuck it right in there and left the dagger in his stomach. And it killed him, of course. Well, the whole connotation of that is not good. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He said, that's all right. That's who they are. They are revolting. They are given over to the flesh. They run wild. They do all of this. They are the enemies. They lie. They are vile. They are immoral. They are worldly. They are gross in all of their actions. They are, as he would put it, as fat as grease. Something that is not good. But the psalmist was not given over to the world, but he was given over to the Word. And when you're given over to the Word instead of the world, you're going to be blessed of Almighty God. And that's the kind of life we need. Now look at his reaction. The reaction to the thing that afflicted him. Verse 71. He says, it is good for me. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. He gets right back to it again. God, I've learned some things. God, I want to learn more things. And God, you have humbled me and I've gotten right with you. And God, I still want to learn some more. It's good for me. It's very good for me that I have been afflicted. Afflictions are good. How do we discern the purpose for problems? How do we discern the purpose for afflictions? We don't go to our friends all the time. They may shed a little light on it, but they also may be friends that shed the wrong light on it. Job had some friends like that, didn't he? And they were advising him, and they said, we know why you're going through these problems. We know why you have this affliction. It's sin in your life, Job. But Job had to deal with God and go to God, and finally, God revealed the reason for his affliction and problems. And God, when he got his heart right, God blessed him. And so it is in our life. Who do we go to? We go to God. Ask God. When there are problems and difficulties you don't understand, don't necessarily ask everybody else. Get on your knees and go to God and talk to God about it and say something like this. God, I'm listening. What are you trying to teach me? through what's going on in my life. I know that there are no accidents with you, and I know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, those who are called according to His purpose. And so, God, as your child, I'm on my knees and my face is bowed before you, maybe tears in my eyes, and I'm saying, God, teach me why these things are happening. Now, He may not always give you the answer. It may be later on that you'll get the answer, but you just have to trust God. And a lot of times, God will give you the answer and show you through the Holy Spirit's leadership why those things are happening in your life. Now, one thing is for sure, over and over in these few verses, over and over, everything he was experiencing did what to him? Drove him to the Word of God. And that's not a bad thing. A lot of times we go through difficulties. I remember one Wednesday night, man, everything had been going wrong and just all kinds of things in our life and family and so on and so forth. And in the church there in Connersville, Indiana, and it was on a Wednesday, and I went in and I was so disgusted. I know you'd never do this, but I just threw my Bible down on my desk real hard, and I just said, I don't know what you're doing, God. I just don't know what's going on. And I was just at my wit's end. And I just flipped the Bible open, and I don't advise this as the way of study all the time, but on that occasion, that was what I did, and I opened it to the book of Job. And I thought, well, all right, I'll just read it. And when I got through the book of Job, I sat there and read the whole book of Job on a Wednesday. And when I got through, I was on my knees in prayer, tears running down my cheeks, because I had to get back to understand and realize it, that God knew exactly what he was up to. And later on, I understood exactly what God was doing. But sometimes those things happen in our lives, and that's the way we are. But anything that drives us to the Word of God can be good. And God has the answer in His Word. Isn't that what Jesus did when Satan tempted him? Isn't that exactly what he did? When he came to him and tried to get him, Jesus had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Have you ever tried that? I haven't tried it. I've thought about it. I've gone a while, but I've never gone that far. I've talked to some who have and heard of some who had, but they tell me that after 40 days, that's about the max, and after that, you're going to die. So Jesus had gone that 40 days, and he was at that point where he was hungry. Let me tell you, in his humanity, remember, he was as much God as much man as God, and he was hungry, just like you would be, just like I would be. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so Jesus was hungry, and how did he answer the devil? When the devil was on his case, he answered it with the Word of God. Could he have turned the stones into bread? Well, sure. He had taken fish and a few loaves, and look what he did with that. That was no problem for Jesus. But he was teaching us a lesson. And the Lord Jesus Christ answered with Scripture. We need to learn the value of Scripture in every crisis. In everything we go through, the Bible has the answer for us, and we need to know that, and we need to remember that. Very quickly, the psalmist's wealth. What was his wealth? Verse 72, he said in that psalm, in that verse, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He gets back to the word. He said, the Bible, the Word of God, is more important to me than silver and gold. Would that be true in your life tonight? What if somebody, you had one Bible, only one, you couldn't get any others, you're just somewhere where you just had one Bible right there, and that was it. And somebody offered you $500,000 for your Bible. What would you do? Would you take it or would you keep your Bible? The psalmist said, keep your gold and keep your silver. And I'm going to stick to the Word of God. I'm going to stay with the book of books. And so he knew what he was doing. By the way, what are you investing in? What am I investing in? If it's a world of business, then we got a problem. If it's the world of the Bible, then we are doing the right thing. if it's just business. And very few people succeed in both business and the Bible. Some do, but very few. We need to make the Bible our priority. And so that's the thing that we need to do. And the Bible reminds us, you cannot serve God and mammon, which is money. You cannot serve both. You just can't do it. You got to make up your mind. Which one's it going to be? Is it going to be money, business, or is it going to be Bible and God? And God has to have the priority. And he was living for the right world. He wasn't living for gold and silver like most people. He was living for the right world. Let's bow our heads just a moment before we have our prayer. Do you have any troubles tonight? You're going through some difficulties. You know someone it is. Just trust God. Don't get bitter. Get better. We have a choice. We can get bitter or we can get better. And remember that whatever's happening in your life, I don't care what it is, things you don't understand, things you cannot figure out to save your life, the purpose for it, the reason God is allowing it to you as a child of God is to draw you closer to him and closer to his word, to teach you more about himself. If we'll love the word and stay in the word, then we're going to have growth. Not only are we going to have growth, but we're going to be sustained during those difficult times. And then ask yourself the question tonight as we close, what world am I living for? Really, are we living for eternity or are we not just living for now? Hopefully, it's for eternity. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. We'll have an invitation. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, come to him tonight. If you need to pray and rededicate your life, or God has spoken to you about something, you know that, and you do what he tells you to do. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for the blessed and beautiful word. Thank you for these beautiful songs, this beautiful poetry, the beautiful psalms that you've given us for our benefit. And over again, Lord, we learn lessons and are reminded of principles in your word that we need. May you help us to follow through with them in Jesus' name. Amen.